from Guatemala, but I was just thinking about our history together. I know Byron and Hi going way back into the early 90s, and when some of you will remember this, some of you won't, I'm surprised I do, but we had a youth rally here. It was massive. Jake and John actually ran that youth rally when they were in high school together. And they designed the whole thing, and they wanted Byron and Hiawatha to come up and be the speakers. You remember that? That was a long time ago. That was like 92, 93. And so they came up. We had a great youth rally. And then a couple of years later, they came back around 1997, 98, when they decided that Hiawatha and Byron decided they were wanting to go to Guatemala to be missionaries. And they came back and told us about their plans and wanted to go there, and they laid it out for us, and we're asking for support, and we decided to support them. And then in 1998 or 99, they went down there, two-year commitment, and they've been there ever since. We were talking in the meeting this morning with the elders, and Hiawatha said that they don't do math very well, and so their 2 years has gone into 18 years. And we have been blessed at this congregation to support many good mission works, and this is one of them. We have dynamic gospel preachers in other countries, and Byron and Hiawatha are two of those, and you're going to hear that today. Many of you know that already, but that's just our history. They've been back visiting us. Several of us have had opportunity to go down there and spend some time with them, and your life will never be the same once you go down there. You'll see how important this work is, and they continue to spread the gospel throughout Guatemala, and we are glad to be part of that work. So, Hiawatha, come and preach the word, brother.
Good morning, church. It has been a long history that we've had here with this congregation, and we appreciate so much the love that you have always shown for us. We love you, and we appreciate being partners together in this great mission, this mission that we've been left to do here on earth. And you here in Merced, California, and us in the beautiful country of Guatemala, and we do encourage you to, I bring you greetings this morning from the church there in Guatemala, particularly the congregation in Linda Vista, and they've already had their worship assembly and their Sunday school assembly, and I know during that time that they have, that they prayed for us. They prayed for Byron and myself as we're traveling, and I know that they've prayed for you as well, because they constantly remember their family here in the States. And so we ask that you do likewise, that you remember us. And we encourage you to come and visit. Brother Jim's already been, some of those already been, and come and visit. One of the first questions I'm always asked is if it's safe in Guatemala. That's always, is it safe in Guatemala? Is it safe in Guatemala? Well, up until last year, I didn't really have an answer for that. And then I got robbed here in the States. Yeah. So now my answer is safer there than it is here. Okay? I've been in Guatemala, Lord willing, this coming March, Lord willing, will be 18 years. And we've been there, and we haven't been robbed, and we come home and get robbed. So I can honestly say it's safer there than it is here. Okay? So please come and visit with us. Come and see your family. Come and meet your church family there. And you've seen several opportunities already as we have witnessed the report this morning, several opportunities where you have to come and visit with us. And we encourage you to do that. Those of you who are keeping time, okay, those are called the preliminary remarks. Okay, they do not count on the time of the sermon. Okay, I have never been in a place before where the preacher and the audience can see the clock. Okay, and it's up here, and so normally the clock is in the back only where the preacher can see it, but I guess that's so all of you can time me this morning. And so those of you who are timing me, I'll tell you when to start your clocks, okay? I'll tell you when to start timing me. I'm reminded of one story of where the preacher, the little boy was sitting out with his mother, and the preacher was up there, and the little boy asked his mama, said, what does it mean when the preacher does this? And his mama said, that means stand up. Mama said, what does it mean when the preacher does this? And she said, that means sit down. She says, well, Mama said, now what does it mean when the preacher does this? She says, not a thing, honey. Not a thing at all. Said, don't even pay any attention when he does that. So don't pay any attention when I do that. Several weeks ago, I had an opportunity to travel back from Guatemala to Denver, Colorado. I spoke at a lectureship there, and I boarded the plane there in Guatemala and sat next to a gentleman. And we were traveling from Guatemala to Houston, Texas, where I would enter the United States. And this man that I sat next to, he talked the whole flight. The whole flight. Yeah. From the time that he sat down and the time that I sat down to the time we landed in Houston, he talked. He asked me a question. He said, where are you from? And I told him, I said, I live in Guatemala. And I guess he took from that I wasn't a citizen of the States and that I had maybe never been to the States before. Because all the way from Guatemala to Houston, he told me, you don't want to go there. You don't want to live there. He filled me in on everything that's taking place. In fact, I know more about Donald Trump than Donald Trump knows about himself. I'm serious. And everything he told me. And all the way there, he just kept saying, there's just no hope. There's just no hope. And so we landed in Houston, and we parted company, and I went through customs, did all the good stuff like that, and then got on another airplane from Houston to Denver, Colorado. And I sat next to a lady. Yeah. She talked all the way from Houston to Denver. Yeah. And it all started with the question of, where are you from? I've learned from this trip, though, when people ask me where I'm from, I tell them, I'm from Guatemala, but I'm from the States. I got a blue passport. That helps me out, I think. Okay. Where are you from? I said, I live in Guatemala. When I said that, she started. And it's just, everything that's going on here, this is happening, that's happening. And I even took out a book. Yeah, thinking if I take out a book and open the book, it didn't do any good. All I got to do every now and then, I got to go, mm-hmm, yeah. And, you know, and the last time I saw her was at the luggage area, and that's when she asked me. She said, "What do you do?" Yeah, and I said, "I'm a missionary." Oh, so you're a missionary, huh? So let me ask you a question. She had already asked me my name. She said, "Let me ask you a question, Pastor Jones." I know I'm not a pastor. Sounded good though, you know. She said, you always go around and you're spreading this. You're supposed to be doing the good things and all the stuff like that. She said, let me ask you. She said, is there hope for this nation? And when she said that, she turned around and walked off. And I thought, how many people are asking that question? How many people are asking that question? Is there hope? Is there hope? I think the gentleman that I rode with from Guatemala to Houston, is there hope? Church, our nation's in trouble. Our nation's in trouble. Is there hope? Someone would say, now, Brother High, you've come all the way from Guatemala. And here we are the Sunday before Christmas. I guess the 24th is really the Sunday before Christmas. But here we are the week before Christmas. And here, can't you be just a little bit more positive? Let me change that statement then. I can be positive. Here it is. I'm positive our nation's in trouble. Listen to the news lately. Used to, you would ask a question, you would say, did you hear about the school shooting? And now you say that, and here's the question that normally comes back is this. Which one? And then you've got cops killing people killing cops, and it's just every day something like that is taking place. And then somebody's going to say, "Well, I tell you what, it's a black problem. It's a white problem. It's not that." We're in trouble. And so many are asking, and maybe you're asking, and I've asked, is there hope? Then let me be positive with you this morning. Yes, there is hope. And now listen to me there. Listen. When I say yes, there's hope. It's a different hope than most people would think. I'm not saying, yes, there's hope that the United States is going to last forever and ever and ever. Church, you know, because nations have come and nations have what? Nations have gone. Nations have risen and nations have what, church? Fallen. That's not the hope I'm talking about. But is there hope? It's a different kind of hope. There is hope. Church, this, what we're seeing taking place now, it's not the first time we've been in trouble. A lot of us think we're doing something new. We're not doing anything any differently than we've ever done. Jim, if you would, find for me Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, you're going to find God creating everything perfectly. Am I right? You read there where God says so many times, he says, this is good, this is good, this is very good, time and time again, and it didn't take us long to get ourselves in trouble. What's taking place now is nothing new, church. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, what does the text say? Then the Lord saw, read. It was great on the earth, and read. No, listen, church. Not some intent. But what, Brother Jim? Every intent, read. Of the thoughts of his heart, read. On evil what? How often? Continually. It's nothing new, church. Read. The Lord, church, we were at a point one time that God was sorry that he ever made us. Read. Keep reading. Grieved in his heart. Read. And here's what he said. Now listen to this. Here's what he said. I will destroy. Read. We were in so much trouble one time that God said, I regret I ever made these people. I'm going to destroy them from the face of the earth. Read, Brother Jim. Man, beast, and creeping things. I'm sorry I ever made them. Nothing new, church. Keep reading. Oh, now, don't miss this. Is there hope? But read, Brother Jim, what is it? But who? Noah. Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. Read. Here's the genealogy. Just keep reading. Noah was a just man, perfect in his own time. Noah walked with God. Some versions will read this. Some versions will say, Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a blameless man. Is there hope? Was there hope then? What was the hope, church? What saved mankind? Think about it. Noah. Noah was a what kind of man, church? Righteous man. I heard a man on the television not long ago was asked the question, said, what type of people do you like the least? And he said, well, the type of people I like the least is I dislike those who call themselves righteous people. And I thought about it after I heard that. It's because of a righteous man that you even have time to say that. If it wasn't for a righteous man, we wouldn't even be here today. Is there hope? Some of you will remember the story. How many of you have heard of the city of Sodom? How many of you have heard of that city? Raise your hand if you've heard of Sodom. Sodom was a real nice city, right? A great city. Everybody wanted to live there, right? Now, Sodom was wicked. Sodom was sinful. And God said, I'm going to destroy the city. Genesis chapter 18. But then Abraham began to deal with God. He began to bargain with God. He says, God, now listen. If I can find just 50 rich people, would you not destroy the city? Is that what he said? No. He said, if I can find just 50 good-looking people, will you not destroy the city? Is that what he said? No. If I can find just 50 black people, will you not destroy the city? Is that what he said? Oh, 50 white people, will you not destroy the city? Is that what he said? No, 50 what, church? Righteous people. Was there hope for Sodom? Yes. And where was it? It was finding 50 what, church? Righteous people. Then Abraham got to thinking, there might not be 50 there. He bargained with God all the way down to 10. Am I right? Will you spare the city for the sake of 10 righteous people? And God said, I'll spare the city. Genesis chapter 18, I'll spare the city for the sake of 10 righteous people. You know the rest of the story? Sodom is no more. What could have saved Sodom? Righteous people. Is there hope for our nation? Yeah. There's hope for our nation and church, it's a greater hope than I deserve and that you deserve. Church, it's a hope that goes far past the United States of America. It's a hope that's greater than any hope that any man could ever wish to have. It's a hope that has a peace that passeth all understanding. And where does it lie? it lies in the same place that it was in Genesis chapter 6 and in Genesis chapter 18. It's in the righteous people. God's people. That's where our hope is. And again, I tell you, don't get mixed up with this thing of we're talking about hope that the United States is going to stand all this time. No. I'm saying there's a hope. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, set your mind on things where? Above. Not on things of this earth. The Bible says this. The Bible says in Colossians, the Bible says that our citizenship is where? Our citizenship is where, church? Church, our citizenship is where? In heaven. We've fallen into this thing so many times. We hear, you know what, I tell you what now. We want this nation to be a Christian nation again. It's never been a Christian nation. I know some of you can, wait. No. It's never been a Christian nation. And I heard somebody say the other day, well, you know what, said President Trump is going to make this a Christian nation again. He never said that. He's never said that. He's going to make this nation what? Great again. He never said anything about Christian nation. It's never been a Christian nation. It's been a nation with Christians in it. Us. The Lord's church. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 18. Is there hope? Yes, there's hope. You know, Romans chapter 1, verse 17. There's a group of people. There's a group of people who walk by faith and not by what, church? Sight. Who are those people? But the Bible says it's the what people? The righteous. The righteous, we live by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the text says there that God made him who had no sin to become sin on our behalf so that we can become what? His what, church? His righteousness. Not something we've done, but something that he done on our behalf. And we're the hope of this nation because our hope is greater than the United States of America. Too many of us are wrapped up in the United States of America. No. We have a hope that I don't care where the United States goes, we know where we're going. And our mission is to take as many people with us as we possibly can. Is there hope? Yes, there's hope. And it's us. It's the righteous. It's God's people. It's those who walk by faith and not by sight. It's those of us who realize that we have been made to be God's righteousness through the death, through the burial, and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. Our hope Second Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4 is the text we had read earlier. I want us to back up to chapter 3. As Paul talks to Timothy here, Paul says, things are going to get bad. Okay? Things are going to get bad. It's nothing new, church. Listen. Chapter 3, but realize this, that in the last days, easy times will come. Is that what the text says? What does it say, church? Terrible. Some versions will read difficult. In the last days, difficult times will come. Now listen. Men will be lovers of of self. Does that sound like us today? Does that sound like us, 2017? Lovers, I mean, you know, we love ourselves so much that we've even come up with a little thing that we don't even think about it sometimes. When was the last time you took a... That's how much we love ourselves. I mean, how much? Okay, everybody come in, get in. And then when everybody gets in, you get it and you take the picture. And then when you look at it, everybody in the picture is perfect. And you got your eyes closed. That's a bad picture, isn't it? You got to do it. Lovers of self. I'm reminded a few years ago, one of the fastest growing businesses in the world, it's what they call self-storage areas. You ever heard of those? You find them everywhere. And you know what? We store everything in there except what? Self. Yeah. It'd be nice if we put ourselves in there. We store everything in there for self. In fact, we store so much stuff in those things. Sometimes we store things in there and don't even know what's in there. And now they come up with what they call the climate control self-contained. Yeah, yeah. And it's stuff. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutals, haters of good. That's only two verses, church. That's just two verses. Paul says, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But you know what? There is hope. Even in the midst of all of this, there is hope. And it lies in righteous people. Paul tells Timothy, and just real quickly, Paul gives three things here, I believe, and you probably get a whole lot more, but what about these righteous people? What about them? Paul says to Timothy here, Paul says, verse 10, but you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance. Skip down to verse 14. He says, you, however, continued in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation. That's the hope we're talking about. That leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What about these righteous people? First of all, church, it's got to be a group of people who know the Word. Paul says, You've known the Word from childhood, he tells him. You got to know. How much do you know the Word? You know the Word? I know some sports team. You know what? We could get up here and we could say, name the so-and-so. What sports team is famous around here? The 49ers, okay? Don't get me in trouble. Is that right, boy? Okay, so I shouldn't have asked that. The Warriors, okay, they're better then. Okay, they're better. You know what? How many of you know about the Warriors? The whole? Warriors, what did I say? Oh, the War. Okay, see, I told how much I know. What kind of team is it? It's basketball, okay. It's not soccer, I'm sorry. Okay, how many of you know about them? You know what? I could start a war in here this morning. Yeah. I could start a war. And some of you could probably stand up and tell me every player that's on, all the numbers they have, all the salaries they make, and all. You could tell me more about them than they know about themselves. You probably could. I could turn around and ask some of you, name the 12 apostles. I could readily say before you this morning, turn to Hezekiah chapter 3, and some of you would look for it. I never get one guy did get it one time and said, turn to Hezekiah chapter 3, and one of the other guys says, you know, I hate those small Old Testament books. What about those righteous people? They know the word. They know the word. How much time last week did you spend in the Word? There were 7 days, 24 hours each day. How much time did you spend in the Word? What about these righteous people? They know the Word. You've known the Holy Scriptures. You've known the Holy Scriptures that's able to save you, that's able to lead you to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. How many of us know the Word? I'm reminded of a story of where this husband and wife invited the preacher over for dinner. And when the preacher come in and sit down in the living room, they asked the little boy, they said, the father looked at him and said, son, go out and get the book that dad reads all the time. Yeah, wanting to impress him. And they had left a big Bible in the other room. They said, go in the den and bring the book that dad reads all the time. Gonna impress the preacher. Little boy came back a few minutes later and he has the TV guide in his hand. Yeah. Do we know the Word? What about those righteous people? They know the Word. Not only do they know the Word, they know it and they live it. Are you living the Word? Think about this past week. If you were brought before court, and this is what I heard, it's made me think a lot. If you were brought before court and you were going to be sent to the electric chair, and the only accusation they had against you is you're a Christian, would there be enough evidence from this past week to prove you guilty? Would they find enough evidence in your life this past week to say, yep, he's a Christian. Yep, she's a Christian. Or would you walk away free? They live the Word. And church, listen to me, righteous people. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. In the same text here, Paul says this. Paul says, verse 13 of chapter 3, he says, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to be easy. You skip up a few verses. Verse 12, it says, and indeed, all who desire to live godly is going to have it made. All who desire to live godly will be what, church? Will be persecuted. And we get upset when they talk about us. We get upset when they make laws that's completely contrary to God's will. We could, you know what, church, why does it upset us when heathens act like heathens? Why are we surprised when non-Christians act like non-Christians? Our job is just to be Christians. Even in the midst of it. We're going to suffer. But you know what? But we know the Word. And if we know the Word, we not only know the beginning, we know the what, church? We know the end. We live the Word. We live it. We know we're going to suffer, but we live the Word. We live differently from those that are around us. Jim, find for me Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're told something there that every one of us, I hope we take it to heart. Begin with verse 13, what's the text say? He's talking to us. Read, what does he say? You are the what? Are the salt of the earth. Read. But the salt has done what? Then what is it good for? It won't be seasoned, but it's good for what? But what? Thrown out what? And trampled on by men. We're no good if we're not salty, church. We're no good. Then what else does he say about us, Jim? You are the light of the world. And listen to me, righteous people, that's a compliment. You know why? Because Jesus said earlier, I'm the light of the world. And then he turns around and tells us, what did he say, Jim? You are the what? You are the light of the world. But now what does he say? You are a city that's set on a hill. But now here's the warning. Read. You can't be hidden, but read. No, you don't light a lamp and do what? And put it on the basket. But you put it on a lampstand. Why? It gives light to everyone. Everybody, read. Let your light so shine. So what? They'll see our good works and what? And church, we don't let our light shine so people can see us. We let our light shine so people can see who? To see the Father. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify God who's in heaven. You're going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. But let your light so shine. What about these righteous people? They know the Word. What about those righteous people? They live the Word. And finally, the lesson is yours this morning. What about these righteous people? They preach the Word. What have you talked about this past week? What's been your main conversation this past week? Has it been sports? Has it been politics? Has it been Christmas? Has it been how are you going to pay off all these bills now of all these gifts you bought? All these gifts that you bought everybody and they're going to open them up on Monday and not like any of them hardly? That's why the longest line in history is on the 26th at Walmart. People returning stuff. And now they done got to where they open Christmas Day in the evening time so you can bring it back. Chapter 4, verse 3, the text says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. Does that sound familiar? But you back up to verse 2. Here's what Paul says. You preach the Word. You preach the Word. You be ready in season and out of season. You reprove, you rebuke, you exhort with great patience and instruction. But you preach the Word. What about these righteous people? Church, do you want to change your neighbor? Talk to them about Donald Trump. Talk to them about Obama. Here's what we've done. We have put more trust in the government to change things than we have in God. We put more trust in the little g than we have the big G. Somebody say, well, I'll tell you what now, it's all according to who's in the Oval Office. How long have we had that Oval Office? And look how much trouble we're in. Church, there's more degrees in the Oval Office than there are on the thermometer. Did you know that? Yeah. And look how much trouble we're in. Let me tell you something. You want to change your nation? You want to change your neighbor? You want to change yourself? The Oval Office is not going to do it. It's not going to do it. We put more confidence sometimes. I tell you what, you know what? Are you a Democrat or are you a Republican? Here's a question. Are you a Christian? Are you one of the righteous? One of the texts, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. We find something very special there, and we preach the word. Why do we preach the word? We preach the word because we've been commissioned to preach the word. We preach the word because only the word. According to Romans chapter 15, verse 4, our hope comes from the scriptures. Matthew chapter 16, Brother Jim, begin reading, I think around verse 13, what's the text say? Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, read. And he asked his disciples, what did he say? Who do men say that I am? Read. And what did he say? They were just as confused as some of the people are today. Some say what? John the Baptist. Elijah. Jeremiah. One of the prophets. Read. But now Jesus gets personal. He says, but now, who do you say that I am? And what did he say? Peter answered, what did he say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Read. And Jesus answered, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you're blessed, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. God did. Read. And I also say unto you that you are Peter. And upon this rock, I'm going to build the White House. Wait. Upon this rock, I'm going to build. It doesn't say White House. I'm disappointed. Upon this rock, I'm going to build what? I'm going to build my church. And then he gives us something very special about that church. Read. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What is he saying there, church? He's saying, I'm going to build something that's going to last how long, church? Forever. When the White House falls, the church still stands. You know why? Because the church is made up of those, what kind of people? Righteous people. When everything else fails, the church still, you know, just one thing real quickly. I don't know how many times I've heard Do you know who the most powerful people? You know who the most powerful man in the world is? You know what the highest position in the land is? And you know how many times I've heard it's the President of the United States. And he sits in the Oval Office. Church, I'm here to tell you something. Righteous people, listen to me. There's an entity that's greater than the White House will ever be, and it's called the church. So therefore, if you believe that, and I believe that, if you believe that, then there, if you can call it a position, there is a position of a man, a group of men that are called elders. Do you know that's the highest office you can hold in the land? Higher than the president? Higher than the White House? Why? Because the church is higher than the president. The church is higher than the White House. And listen to me. The White House and the President of the United States have never been commissioned to do what the righteous people have been commissioned to do. You know, when God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said, preach the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Romans chapter 1. For in it is God's power to save. Preach the word. Those are those righteous people. Because only the word can save. The lesson is yours this morning. The question I have for you this morning is this. Is there hope for the nation? Is there hope for the nation? Is there hope for the nation? Who's the hope for the nation? The hope for the nation of the righteous people. And it's because there's something greater than just this here. The hope we're talking about is an eternal hope. The hope we're talking about is a hope that surpasses everything here. If all of this falls, and I hope it doesn't, if all of this falls, our hope is in something greater. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the what, church? The world. That's the righteous people. Now, one other question. Think about this past week. I'm going to think about this past week. Here's the question. Have you been part of the hope? Have you been part of the problem? You can't save a world if you go in the same direction they're going in. My mama used to ask me as a boy, she used to ask, in fact, me and my brothers and sisters, when we'd come home at times, she would say, did you run into the devil today? What she would say. And the answer that she was looking for was, yes. Yes, I did. Because when you would say, she'd say, you run into the devil today? You'd say, no. She'd say, tomorrow, turn around and go the other way. Because you can't run into anyone if you're going the same direction that they're going. Have you been part of the hope? Or have you been part of the problem? I don't know everybody in this audience this morning, but we're going to be standing in just a moment. We're going to be singing a song of invitation. Maybe there's someone in this audience who's not a Christian. If you're not a Christian this morning, you have not been part of the hope. You're not a righteous person. You haven't been cleansed. You can change that this morning. You can come believing that He is, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You can come repent of your sins this morning, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You can come this morning and you can make that sweet confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. You can be buried with him in the water, grave of baptism, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4, and the text goes on and on and on. You can go down an old person, an unrighteous individual, and you can come up righteous because of what the blood of Christ does for you. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can join the team of the righteous. This morning, maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you've done those things, but you haven't been righteous. You haven't been part of the solution. You haven't been righteous. You haven't let your light shine. Then maybe you don't need to respond. Maybe you just need to change your mind from your seat. Do that. Maybe you've done something publicly this morning where you need to come and say, I need to repent. Maybe you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters. Maybe something's weighing on you this morning. Is there hope for the nation? Yes. What I want everybody to do real quick, so I want everybody to hold your finger up like this. Hold your finger up like this. And I ask the question again. The question goes like this. Is there hope for the nation? What's the answer? Yes. And where does that hope lie? Everybody do this. And hold your hand right there. Are you part of the solution? Or have you been part of the problem? It lies in the righteous. Anyone need to respond this morning? I invite you to do so as together we stand to sing to encourage you this morning.